Forgive my sniffling this morning. Some of you know I was out of the Greenville house during the week, and I think I breathed up most of the dirt that was underneath that house. So turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 33rd chapter of Genesis. Short chapter, explication of which is very instructive for us. Genesis chapter 33, verse 1, hear now the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, Who are those with thee? And he said, The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, What meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my presence at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast well pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord unto Seir. And Esau said, Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built him an house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field, where he spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Eloheh Israel. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. So Jacob and Esau meet, and it is, praise God, a happy meeting. There has been some time passed now, some 20 years, since the day that Esau said, Well, as soon as my father is dead, so is Jacob. It's been 20 years, and it seems that Esau's anger has assuaged, that the Lord has settled out Esau's wrath against his covenant man, Jacob. And so Jacob returns, and notice that Jacob, while he is a man of faith, he is a man of courage, he is also a man of practical ability. And so he sets the handmaidens first with their children. How would you feel if you were one of the handmaidens? Well, you might feel like this is my place, right? You might feel that way. Or you might feel like, well, here we are exposed. Oh, but then there is Leah and her children behind, and then Rachel and Joseph at the hindermost. But where is Jacob? He's in the front. Jacob's in the front. So let's not be too hard on Jacob, because he does take the lead of all those that are behind him. And so he runs to meet Esau and his 400 men. A pretty courageous act, not knowing exactly how Esau will respond. And yet, Esau has a kind aspect toward him. As a matter of fact, Jacob is so relieved at Esau's countenance that Jacob says to him, "It is as if I had seen the face of God, and God had been pleased with me. That's how pleased I am." That's an amazing thing to say, seeing what happened in chapter 32, that he had seen the face of God. And so, seeing the face of God and knowing the favor of God, you see, he equates that favor of God that he received at Peniel with the favor that he has received from Esau, because it is God's doing. That's an amazing thing. What a confession of Jacob's faith. So then, Jacob is so very pleased and so very thankful for the favor, the grace that he finds in the sight of Esau, that he wants Esau to keep all of the things that he set out before him. And did you notice when we read through this narrative that great Near Eastern hospitality and manner? Oh, that we had some of that in our society. I said this a few weeks ago to you, I'll say it again. We think of the ancient Near Easterners as rough and rude nomads. Oh, no. We are the rough and rude settled in houses. They were the polite and mannered nomads. There is indeed a great manner, a politeness, a gentility, if you will, that takes place between Esau and Jacob here that we would do much to emulate. So, the gentility is indeed a prized commodity here between these two men. And did you notice that they are able to communicate that which is unsaid by their gentility? Because it is very clear by the time they part that Jacob is not going to follow Esau to Seir. He knows that Esau is an unbeliever. And so he wants to maintain what we have called in the past the antithesis. And maintaining that antithesis, he will go one way and let Esau go unto Seir. That is why when Esau said to him, "Oh, let me leave a few here with you to protect you," Jacob said, no, that's not necessary. Now, if Jacob were going to Seir, that would have been a reasonable thing for Jacob to do. But he wasn't going to Seir. He never had it in his mind to go to Seir. Although he said, "I'll follow you on to Seir," it was simply a polite way to speak to Esau in order not to offend him, because Jacob was not going to come out and say, "You know, you're an unbeliever and I can't follow you there." But I believe that in the communication that they had between them and the exchange of gifts and the exchange of discussion that they had, that it was very clear that Jacob was going on his own way and Esau was going his. I think if you read the narrative, that'll bear that out. Notice also that Jacob, and I believe this is a true thing, it's not just gentility, but it's also true when Jacob says, "Well, you and your 400 men are going to lead on like 400 men, and I have flocks and herds and women and children, and if we overdrive them, they will die. They'll perish. And so you go on ahead, and we will follow on as we are able." And so there is a great understanding there that Jacob has as the leader of his covenant family. He is mindful of their weaknesses. He's mindful of how tender he needs to be. You think Jacob himself may not have been able to go on very quickly, halting as he did in his thigh. And so the Lord causes Jacob to have compassion upon those that he is with. And so it would do us well also to emulate that compassion, that tenderness of Jacob, to understand that those around him may not be able to fly where he can fly, to run where he can run. One more thing. Jacob buys the first fruits of the promised land from the children of Hamor for 100 pieces of money. And there, what does he do? He says, we're home. No. He erects an altar. And he calls it El Eloah Yisrael, which is, or Elohe Yisrael, God, the God of Israel. Who is Israel? Don't think of it as a nation at this point. Think of it as Jacob's name. Jacob is saying, God is my God. That's what he named the altar. God is my God. Not any other God. Not the gods of Hamor, not the gods of Esau, not any other God, but God alone. And so we see Jacob's close tie to the covenant, if you will. So let's stand then and continue calling upon the Lord in the